How would you feel, BT, to have a mashup? Because I think there's some good stuff we could talk about. It's up to you. What do you think? Sure. Are you okay with this?
Yeah, I'm all good. Absolutely. I enjoy letting your money's buy his lonesome on here.
Well, here's why. Because I think there's a good conversation like with grown-ups, and then we'll just watch. Now, Brett Tanner's here from Tanner Financial Services. Brett, of course, is he's the man that represents the Chamber Plan, which is insurance for small businesses. I think you two have known of each other. Brett, nice to see you again.
Good to see you.
How was your golf tournament Monday? Freddie said it was. Here, just talk right into that thing.
Awesome. Just a little cold.
It was a little cold. Yeah, you know, we had summer for a bit there. April was canceled, and then the last 3 days it's like fall again around here.
But it was good. The rain held off at the golf tournament. You know, there was some sunny breaks where it felt all right. It was good. Overall, very good.
And you guys are playing up in Richmond Hill?
Yep. Played at Richmond Hill, raised some good money for charity, and everything went well.
You've been listening to the discussion about wealth creation in this country, and we've had, Brett and I and a few other, we've had this conversation, too, about how, you know, yeah, we have great programs. Yeah, we love living in Canada, greatest country in the world, but there's a lot of stuff taxation-wise, and there's a lot of stuff that, you know, the average Canadian doesn't seem to avail themselves of information. For instance, this topic today that you wanted to talk about, I thought was fascinating, about, you know, NDP is one of their platforms, is free dental. You know, and what, sometimes people wonder, well, when I'm doing insurance, why doesn't the government just cover this? And as users, I'm just reading some of your notes, it ain't free.
No, the interesting thing is, you know, originally when we were putting the show, topics together, I was thinking of National PharmaCare because that's going to be the next big liberal election platform. And they want to pay for all drugs. And, of course, you know, the NDP is touting free dental. Well, it's not free. You're already running a massive deficit. So what's going to happen is you're going to fund that. Why would you fund that? Like, where does that come from? They're just trying to get young votes. The young folks don't understand that they're the ones who are going to have to pay the debt because, you know, us old farts will be retired. We'll have our money.
Yeah. And when they say free dental care, don't they mean just free checkups, too? Like, the government can't be paying for root canals and fillings.
But I'm asking you, why is it that we're... I know the answer, but I just say... You say, well, we can't be paying for root canals, but we can pay for a pancreas replacement. You can't replace.
Yeah, but that's...
You can get your appendix out.
No, I understand, but that's a traditional thing. That's already in place.
Well, the answer everyone would give you is one is preventative. You know, you can take care of your teeth, but you can't, you know, what can you do to take care of your appendix? But you know, it's the same way people abuse themselves. They, you know, they don't take care of their... And the government pays for an appendectomy.
Sure. You know, the issue is, though, where do you draw the line?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there is networks for low-income people. There's dental programs for low-income people. So there's already, you know, a substantial amount of support, you know, in the business community through benefit plans and so on.
Like the Chamber Plan.
And it's efficient. And it works well. They're not going to cover everything anyway. There will be a line in the sand where they just cover checkups. They're not going to cover root canals. It's like OHIP Plus. They put this thing in, and you know, we had clients calling us expecting a decrease in their rates January 1 because they thought it was going to have some massive impact. So you give the under 25 group, which claims the least, free drugs, but you're only covering 3,000 out of a significantly larger list of drugs. And all the higher drug users are already using Trillium in Ontario anyway because there is a catastrophic program for the province. So it had less than 1% impact on benefit plan costs total.
The and again, you know, healthcare is already in place and somewhat budgeted for. Now to take on from the outside all this dental, as you say, who's going to pay for it? Where's the money going to come from? One thing I've never been able to understand, though, and maybe they could go this far, if I'm injured in the mouth, then maybe it should be covered. You know what I mean? Now, if I get my teeth knocked out, it costs me money for the dental work that goes with it. If it's an accident, maybe there should be some provision.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. If you have an accident... Like that, Freddie was describing this thing where a bolt that from your, what was it, from your...
From a hot water tank, it was under pressure, it whipped by my face.
It could have hit him in the face and caused
thousands...
In the mouth.
If it hits you in your eye, you're okay. If it hits you in you're in trouble.
I know.
Right?
But if if you have to go to the hospital and because of an injury to your teeth and mouth, would that not be covered?
Well, would stitch me up, then send me to the dentist, and then the money starts adding up.
What you may not know is most benefit programs actually have under the health component an accidental dental coverage. So it doesn't go against your dental limit.
So we have that in the chamber plan?
Absolutely.
There's something here I read that you said that some of this stuff that the NDP is proposing isn't all bad. A national, what did you call it, a national buying program?
So National PharmaCare, which is really from this HESA report, which is something that the Liberals paid to have done to sort of look into what they were going to do for the next election. And some of the ideas are actually pretty good. They could reduce $5 to $6 billion in costs in the system if they put in a national buying program. They put some caps on drugs, encourage more competition in the pharma industry, and so on. The problem is if they go to a single buyer system where they buy the drugs, they dispense the drugs. Basically, it's a government-run drug program. Everybody else is out. Well, as we know, the government doesn't really run things efficiently, and it will cost $20 billion. So as Sherpa was saying earlier, you know, you've got a company now. If you're taking money out of your corp and you're in the highest tax bracket, you're paying 15% corporate, you're paying 54% personal, you're already paying, you know, pretty close to 70%, and they're going to have to increase taxes to cover this $20 billion. It's not free.
No, so nothing's free.
It's free to the end user.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, the NDP, this is federally, is proposing a free dental.
The federal liberals are in the National PharmaCare, but I thought it was apropos to talk about with the current election that the NDP provincially want to give free dental.
Well, I love that. The NDP provincially is like, free dental. The PCs are like, buck a beer. You know, that's all anyone cares. How much is the beer going to be? Forget my teeth.
And both speak to significant
constituents.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they do.
And you know, the taxation is getting, you know, we've seen since the minimum wage increase went in, the, you know, number of benefit plans and requests for quotes for smaller businesses has gone down significantly. We had many firms put benefits on hold, so those employees that were going to get benefits didn't get them because the firm had to pay the minimum wage increase. And there's a hierarchy in those firms. If you pay the $12 guy $15, the $15 guy goes to $18. It ripples through those firms.
Yes, there's quite a trickle down in that situation.
Well, it's again, like anything else, it's like it seems like people go, yeah, minimum wage should be higher, but there's a cause and effect that not everyone considers.
But something you said there, and another reason why people, if you have a small business, you want to look after your people, the chamber plan, you said we, and see, I'm learning stuff about our plan all the time, that there's actually a provision there. So if you accidentally get your mouth smashed in...
It's literally called accidental dental.
Wow. No, that's
fantastic.
Say that
three times fast.
No. sure, but that's great to know.
Fred just saw you were mumbling or stumbling or something like that when you said that.
What do you think of all this?
Well, I don't like to get political, but I would say that with the election coming up, we never run a company the way we run our country or a province or whatever, where half the people spend all their time trying to find out what the other half's doing wrong. And I know that part won't change either, Fred, but boy, wouldn't it be nice if it did, right?
You know, I've been saying this now for some time, that I don't understand how they don't run governments the same way they run, you know, boards of directors, because I served on a board for 2-3 year terms, and when it was over, I was done. And I know this seems juvenile to keep bringing it up, but there's a reason boards are term limits. And the problem with governing is we keep putting people in. I mean, Kathleen Wynne's a perfect example, and people who serve lifetimes on governments, don't you just can't tell me that they're as efficient in, you know, their 15th and 20th year. And they, I just don't think there's the same energy. And I think what happens to governments is they become less involved in making the world better for us and using our money wisely, and more involved in what do we need to do to get elected and remain in power.
Well, that's the biggest thing, is when you look at some of these promises, they don't make any sense financially at all. The whole idea is, what do I have to say to get a millennial to vote for me?
Right.
To, you know...
And I just say, if you were somebody that got elected and you were going to serve a term of say, the 3 years, and then another, you get to an option for a second one, or whatever we say, then some, I know it seems elementary.
I know. It's a pipe dream because people aren't going to get into it if they know it's only 4 or 8 years.
But if you alter the paradigm of it, maybe they would. They'd go, listen, I'm going to go serve my country for 3 years, and then I'm going to get back to the real world.
Yeah, but who can do that?
People can do it.
Well, here's another problem, too, and we go through the election, you know, the nastiness that we saw in the United States traditionally during elections has come to Canada, obviously. Good business people who could really help within government don't want any part of it now. So what are we left with? Incompetent people. People that really don't know how to run a business.
And some did, but they've forgotten.
That's it. Yeah. and again, the reason I think it's a good idea is because it would give you, because you would, you know, you would have just recently been in the real world, had to pay taxes, and been involved in life the way most of us are.
You would have to reward them on the way out.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But then they would be, rather than making promises to attract voters, they would be doing things to increase the greater good. I know that sounds Marxist, but you know what I mean? I mean, that's really was the idea. Wouldn't that have been the idea of it to begin with? There wasn't such a thing as career politicians.
No, and things were a lot less partisan years ago. Governments worked together, and now that just seems like
I mean, look at
impossible.
Us working together. We got Tanner. We got the Sherpa. We have you and I who are just meandering through this nonsense-filled world. Brett? Great job, Tanner Financial, and of course the Chamber Plan. Sherpa, always a pleasure.
My pleasure as always. I did miss an opportunity this week, though. You were up for grabs for the best ball. Fred, we got a best ball at the course on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Howard didn't have a partner.
Right.
And like the prettiest girl in school, nobody asked him to the dance. I could have asked him to the dance.
Then I got a... I was deluged with requests.
Your talent and my handicap, we could have been
dude,
contenders.
I had no idea. I didn't even know there was a tournament. And the guy I normally play with I didn't even know he was going to play. So all of a sudden I see this email. I'm like, well, I got no one to play with. And then I was just like... Then I was, it was quite the
You did good. You
it was
got
quite
Tommy,
the shit
so you
storm.
Guys would be a good 1-2 punch there.
But I know if you were available, I would have taken you.
Yeah, I was taken, but I would have held myself, I would have waited for you.
Thank you. You're very nice. And Tanner, how's your golf game?
As erratic as always. Good round, bad round, Jekyll and Hyde.
I'm erratic hole to hole. Like, I literally this spring, I can't put two swings in a row together. This has been a weird spring for golf for me because I normally would have played a lot more, but they canceled April, as you know.
Brett, so could you do the 14-year-old birthday thing that's going on nowadays? What song was number one on?
Did you see that on
birthday?
Facebook?
I saw it, but I didn't look it up.
I grew up with Dom DeLuise as the most famous person born on my birthday, which is troubling enough.
That's funny.
And then
I got
Tempest Bledsoe from the Cosby Show. So I got.
I have O.J. Simpson. Don't feel that.
There we go. Okay, so but he was a rotund funny guy, so I got that going. But anyhow, the number one song when I was 14 years of age, which explains a lot of what's happened to me since, is Maureen McGovern, The Morning After.
Love
from
that
the Poseidon
song.
Adventure.
Yes.
There was
the
a lot of
adventure.
Foreshadowing going on there.
I do. That was a classic.
Oh, my Lord.
Who was the woman in it that she was an old-time actress?
Oh,
Shelley Winters.
Shelley
Winters.
Yeah.
That's right. Shelley Winters. Morning After. Oh, there it is. Maureen McGovern.
Actually, a pretty good song.
Yeah.
Well, it is a good song, but the topic isn't necessarily overly exciting, nor the name of it.
There's got to be a morning after Maureen.
McGovern.
Yeah, I can't find
it. I haven't looked mine up, but it's probably like Downtown by Petunia Clark or something.
I think it's funny that here's four guys going, what was number one on your birthday? Here we go. That was the early 70s when all those disaster movies, it was the Towering Inferno and Airplane and The Morning and The Poseidon Adventure. You know who else was in that movie? Ernest Borgnine. Yeah, he was.
What wasn't he in back then?
Yeah, exactly. It was a very
Jim Neighbors of movies back then.
That was the era of Jaws, too, where everybody stood on beaches in Florida thinking they could see a shark.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, you guys, thanks very much for this impromptu financial roundtable. Tim.niblet at RaymondJames.ca. Chamber Plan without the S. Chamberplan.ca. And take advantage of that as we have. And now we learn. Listen, you know, I had a chance to hang with Brett at the conference there about a month ago, and I ran into our guy, Rod Johnson, and I said, you know, I'd like to have a conversation because there's lots of stuff about the plan that we're still not familiar with, we've had it for a few years.
That was displayed today, so I'm not going to feel bad if somebody punches me in the mouth.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll be prepared.
No, I bet
won't
you
cost
will.
Me a cent.
I'm sure you'll be prepared. Thanks, guys.